Parshas Bishalach, we have the Inyan of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Inyan of Kriyas Yamsuf somehow transcends a particular nes that happened in Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It is the nes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but the Chazal seemed to have a lot more oimik that the Inyan of Kriyas Yamsuf is a turning point in a certain deher in Teva, and so on. And try to understand a little bit some of the oimek of Kriyas Yamsuf in the process mitzad the Teva, rather than just another nes. You have the Makis and all other nisim that you had. But this is, besides being a particular nes, whose purpose it is to bring out Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim and so on, it has in itself a much deeper shift in the Bria, I would say very similar to Matan Torah, which was a shift in the Bria and its structure. This was also. I'll try to look a little bit at some of the Chazal and understand from that point. Chazal have in a few different places in Yonim, what was the schus that Klal Yisrael had that brought back that brought about Kriyas Yamsuf. So you have the Amunah that they believe in them and Schosavis. Fine, those are inyanim that we understand directly affects it. There are two other places, two other inyanim that seem to be very specific and kind of keilu off what one would expect as a general Schosavis or Klal Yisrael. One is it says that they were halu atzmas Yosef. They took Arenas Yosef with them, and even though it says they took all the Shvatim, I said they put all the Shvatim, but Arenas Yosef stands out, and it's probably because Chazal say, the Medrash says that what schus was did the Yamsuf run away? So it says over here in the schus of Vayonas Achutza, Shim Nishkatun Omer, Beschus Atzmois of Shal Yosef Nikra Yam Yisrael. So the Pasuk Shim Nishkatun is learning up the Pasuk that they took out Atzmos Yosef as part and parcel of Kriyas Yamsuf. Beschus Atzmois of Shal Yosef Nikra Yam Yisrael. Haudach Siva Yomro Vayonas, Beschus Vayazib Bigda Vayoda Vayonas. Vatikla and Shabbos and so on. So the Vayonas is where the Chazal saw a particular schus for Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, it's very hard. I mean, Kriyas Yamsuf is an extraordinary event. You're talking about an event that shakes the world. So if you're talking about the Muna, the Kassos, Hemel, Kodesh Baruch, you're talking about a general Inyan. You're talking about a klolistic Inyan of Klal Yisrael's Keshet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. But here you're talking about a specific mice. It's a very big mice mitzvah. It's a very chashuv thing. It's a gevaldik nisoyen. But to try to find here a nekuda that's specific to Kriyas Yamsuf. Here it says Vayonas, here it says Vayonas. We understand that when Chazal darshan words like that, they're touching on particular nekudas. They're not just giving a. They're not playing with the words over here. So in the Vayonas of Yosef from Eishes Potiphar lays the Vayonas of Kriyas Yamsuf, and we need to understand what is the what's this particular shayches? Why this touches on an akuda that's the Sheirish Kilu of Kriyas Yamsuf. Another place where Chazal point on a very specific schus. It says Vayevaka Atzei Ha'ila, Vayevrom Avinu, that when he came to be, when he chopped the wood to be Makiv Yitzchok, Vayevaka, it says the schus, the two bekiyas that was bekiyad Eitzim, and that schus, the yam was Boka Zayam. Also, the schus of the Akeda stands to us, Arayim Azeh, in everything. In general, in other words, the Chazal say we live off the schus takeda. In a general way, that's a very good description. The klolius, well, everything we have is beschus takeda. Machelas, we eat beschus that. But once you talk about specifics, So Yitzias Mitzrayim b'schus that. Kriyas Yamsuf means there's a specific nekuda in Akeda that's very specific to Kriyas Yamsuf. And I'd like to try to touch on that nekuda and the hair. Where is it? Where do you have that specific nekuda in the Akeda as well? There's a very famous chazal that it says there was a certain vikuach between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Va'ata horim es matecha, Oma Moshe tne HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata oima li she'ekra sayam, Ve'esa sayam yabosha. You told me I should tear the yam apart and turn the yam into yabosha. Vaksiv, it says, Ashasamti choyl gvul hayom, that it says you made the sand a border for the yam, and you swore that you would never cut the yam, you would never break the yam, whatever it is. First of all, that in itself is very not clear. Where exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make that shvur and so on? It says Samta, you made the sand as a gvul for the yam. Samta chol gvul yam. That's fine. It means that the yam can't overflow. If there's a shvur, if there's anything happening, it's the other way around. The yam will not go out to the mabul, and it won't flood the world again. But the hefech, we don't actually see. And secondly, very nishpatan v'loim, omer blazakapa omolei moisha loikach amarta, she'en ayom nasi abosha, she'nem asamti chol gvul yam, uksiv yasav atayim yos, omer kadosh baruch hu, loikarasim tchol satayra. Ma'aksiv v'yem alkim yikavu amayim, it says yikavu amayim, anihu she'esneisi imoi. I was the one that made the t'nai with him. Kach yisneisi mitchila shani koiroi. So I made a t'nai that I would be correct. Shenema v'yoshev ayom l'tnoi spoikel e'sonoi l'tnoi she'esneisi mitchila. Miyad sham moishan, he went to Korea. So there's a vikuach here that's very unclear what the back and forth is. On the one hand, there's a shavua. On the other hand, there's a t'nai. The t'nai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masne with Moshe Rabbeinu is famous. Everyone speaks about it in terms of it not being a stira to a new rutzin and so on. The Rambam speaks about it. But it's not clear in understanding what exactly does it mean, the t'nai is l'chatchila. It doesn't really solve, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu chatchila meant like that, doesn't solve any of those issues. But over here, especially in context, if there was, the vikuach is whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu left over a shirayim, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu left over a kilu in Hilchos Noyim, there's a shiur, that chutz me this, chutz me that. The vikuach here has to be vikuach in something that's inherent to the metzias of the yam. And mitzad the yam, there would never be something, a kriyas yam. So, and that's in the pasuk, ashesamti choyl gvul yam. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're making a mistake, there was a t'nai, there was hisna. So, let's try a little bit to understand what the inyan here is. The Goyen adds something here. The Goyen darshins, the Goyen is in Tanakh, but the Goyen darshins, the Gemara says, Yas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim lechizkiyo, ke oivre yam, v'dorche yardin. The Goyen is Goyres, it's the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Goyen is Goyres, Yas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim lechizkiyo, ke dorche yam, or ke oivre yardin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make nisim to chizkiyo, like those who stepped in the yam, and like those who passed over the Yarden. And he explains, the Goyen explains the difference in the two Lashaynis. What's the difference? He says, the Yarden is kind of, the ground of the Yarden is not a very, very deep ground. It's like a riverbed, which means that the only problem is the water. And therefore, if you just stop the water, you can go across. It's not a problem. So all HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do was they had to be over yarden. They had to go over the yarden. Masha'in came in the yam. The yam sits in an extraordinarily deep bed. The ocean bed is miles. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just stop the water from going down, they still would have a terrible time crossing over. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled in he filled in that bed over there, and they had what to walk across also. So that's called Dorche Yam, because the Yam, they needed a makom to step on, to be Dorichon. Masha'in ke deyan, they only needed a makom to be over. That's what the Goyen says over there. Shot of the words and so on, and he touches it. Nagara, very fine. He says that that's the difference between Ilakar Lanas Hayam, in other words, there's two things: there's Karas Hayam and Charav. Fine, those are, that's what the Goyen adds in Pshat. I'd like to understand. So the Goyen is putting down here an important difference physically, which explains the dimensions of the Nais, but he also is giving us a hint at a much deeper process that one is totally with the other. And let's talk about this Nekuda. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it says, V'aretz hoisu toihu vavo, v'choshech al pnei sahoim, v'ruach al kimra chefes al pnei amoyim. The world itself was tohu vavo, and most of the Rishonim learn that the pshat tohu vavo is formless, something that has no tsura whatsoever, and the bria that has no tsura whatsoever is water. Water is something that has no tsura. It's mass, but it has no dimensions internally. You can put it into a cup, but if you let it spill out, it just goes in every which direction. It doesn't contain any internal tzura to itself. Solids, have very clear dimensions. They have form. They tend to come in certain discrete units. You have rocks of certain sizes. You have trees and you have grass, and you have different things have very clear tzuras, very clear sizes, and very clear units. So the first Nekuda, and this is what Ramban learns, as many Rishonim learn, the first state of the world was matter, without any gvulis, without any tsura, without any type of tsura around it. That's the first stage of the Bria. Besides Ur, we've spoken about it some other times, why Ur, but Rikia, Bein Mayim Lamayim, the Rikia between the two Mayims is the first type of division which splits the water into two. It's the first imposition of tsura on the Bria. Now, it's an imposition. Chazal call it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechalik. He split the Bria apart, meaning that the Mayim al Yoyim and Mayim Tachtoinim really, really would like to mix. It says the Mayim Tachtoinim are boicher, that they would like to go up. It says that there's no kitoy because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechalik myself. It's a artificial splitting apart, an artificial separation of something into two groups when there's no real internal justification for the two groups, meaning internal to what we understand, what we see. And that's why the Mayim Tachtonim are always in a situation where they wish to be Elyonim. There's no reason they shouldn't be Elyonim. On the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the world, and the world had Mayim, and it had Yabasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yikovu HaMayim. L'chura, Yikovu HaMayim is the same type of pula as Rekia, Bein Mayim L'moyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a certain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put, he split the world into two parts, Yabosh and Yam. There's no reason why the Yam has to be over there. The Yam could have been all over, which it normally would be all over. So our understanding is, the Pashta Pshat in that is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a rakia, so to speak, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu darshened. He said, "Asher samta choil gvul layam." You put choil as a gvul to the yam. You made a boundary for it, and that's it. So now you're going to be breaching that boundary, and you're going to be mehapich, and you're going to be mehapich maisa. You're going to be mehapich the maisa brachis, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nishba never to be mehapich maisa brachis. So since there's a gvul, and yabasha is like one side of the gvul, and yam is the other side of the gvul, then there is no right. There's no ability to split the two, because to commingle the two again, because there's a gvul, and just like Mayim Tachtonim Al-Yonim don't mix, and so on. Here also, that's the understanding we have. Why is it then Shlishi is a good day? Not clear. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told, and that's the reason why the yam, the difference, a nohar is mayim that belongs to the yabasha. And therefore a nohar has a makom. In other words, a river has a place. You dry out the riverbed, then you get a makom. That's the place that contains the river. A river is water that stols su to yabasha. It's yabasha that can water. Ku ayamim yisodav al nahoris yichoynel. There's yamim and there's nahoris. The yabasha has a certain. It contains the river. When you mark off gvulas, you mark off the nahar. That's the makom. A yam is in a place that has no place. The makom of the yam is a tahoim. In other words, tahoimais, when the pasuk speaks of tahoimais, our deher of tahoimais is the place of the yam. Meaning, since a tahoim is not a makom, then the yam has no makom. And that's what the Goyen says, the difference between a nohar and a yam is that a yam needed to, it's not enough to stop the water. Because since the yam is located in a place that's not a makom, then you need to create a makom there. There's no makom drichas regel in that place, and that's why you needed to create that. That's what the Goyen means. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, no, you didn't learn the pasuk correctly. Vayyim elikim yikovu amayim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the waters to assume a kav. Yikovu hamayim means the waters internally should become a kav, is a line. In other words, there is a metzias of a tsura mitzad the water itself as well. And so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the world and he made a division between yam and yabasha, it's not the pshat like rakia, where be'etzem the mayim, tachtonim ha'elyonim are one and the same. There's an artificial split. There's a mechitza that keeps them apart, and the only thing that keeps them apart is the mechitza, the rakia. Yikovu amayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a certain element of kav in the water. Just like if water freezes, it becomes a solid, you can cut it into pieces, into shapes, or whatever it is. Water, even when it's water, has in itself a certain midah of keeping certain place. The gvul is not the pshat, a gvul was imposed on the mayim, but rather the mayim itself keeps its gvulas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzava on the mayim. Once the mayim has a shem yikovu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a tanai into the water, that water would have in itself certain properties of his pastus and his stamkus, spreading out and containing. And b'meila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would It would come to a halt at a certain place. That's the pshat in the vikuach between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this inyan over here. Let's understand it in mitzad, it's oimek in midas and so on. Let's understand it b'madras. Say we're talking about things that are kind of a little bit abstract, a little bit technical, so to speak. Let's speak a little bit mitzad the teichen of the inyan. Mitzad the koiches in the bria. Mitzad the koiches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the bria a nekuda of. He started the world with chesed. Olam chesed yibana. With the midah of ava chesed. That midah mitzad atzma is a midah of ispashtus. And it flows, it goes. It's by its definition. It's the shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia onto the world. That's what it is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shefa is b'likvul. Not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'likvul, but the important knach here is as follows. The midah of hashpa, mitzad that midah, is endless. We, as Bas of Adam, we have gvulas. I can only mashpia if I mashpia my chachma. So my chachma is limited. It goes from A to Z. So all I can be mashpia is A to Z. The money I have goes from A to Z. That's all I can be mashpia. So the gvul is inherent. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is no gvulas. So the midah of hashpa, the midah of shefa is endless. And the male it has no gvulas and no reason why it shouldn't go forever. In order for the world to survive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed boundaries. Shakai, the Shemayim were nimtochim, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gara it, was goyer, and it stopped. Because impossible, you can't have a world that's endless, you need to have gvulas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed gvulas on the world. That's the Mahalach of Rakia. The second day is Midas Hadin. The second day is Kedeged Midas Hadin, and that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed an alternate midah on it. Let's give a mashal to it. Let's say there's one arm of a government that is in charge of dispensing funds, money, whatever it is. There's a second arm that's in charge of investigating and making sure that the person is not cheating, that he's not getting it unlawfully, on fraudulent basis, and so on. Those are two separate arms. One of them, their job is to dispense money, to give it, and the other one is to keep the lines very straight. It's two separate mahalchim, and so on and so forth. The third day, which is a chibur of both, the kuda is the two midas come together. It means that within the midah of Hashpah itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in certain lines of gvulis within the Hashpah itself. Meaning, Lamashal, if I shower somebody with gifts, Mikoyach my midas achesed, Mikoyach my midas Hashpah, the herring a limit. That a limit is appropriate is part of should be part of midas chesed. I should understand that giving him $1 million now is not a chesed. Giving him $1,000 is a chesed. It's not the pshat that it's a second midah that struggles with the first. A person has rachmanis to somebody, but he's also a kamtzin or he has own needs. So that's a struggle between two midas. But here, what needs to become is that the koyach hashpa itself needs to get some sense of what is an appropriate hashpa. An incessant giving is not a giving. And mitzad, the mid of giving, it should be like that. There's a famous word about Musa said, and the others, that it says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if you ma'ana yosim and almana, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you because it's akun and lie and so on. So they say it's an awesomely frightful prospect. Normally Midas Adin comes from Midas Adin. Here the pshat is out of Rachmanis for the almana and yosim, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you. So you're taking the limitless rachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be after you. That's sort of a dogma, I guess, in a little bit of a different sense. Al-Kopanim. That's the midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megal in the mind. T'nai hisna. B'mayis ebreishes means, Yikovu amayim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in this midah itself into Hashpa and so on. Let's bring it to the place. Let's go now to the others, to Vayonis, by Yosef and so on. The Koiches HaNefesh of a person, where we deher in ain of those midas, are in the midah of Ava / Taiva. Taiva itself is, on a physical level, is limitless. It has no gvulis. It's meant to be an expression of ava, but as such, it's also it's a koyach that the Reb Chaim Vital calls it, categories it, puts it under water. In other words, taiva is yisod amayim, like this mentioned a few times. And ava of mother to a child. Those are two oifanim that we understand of midas of hashpa and hatava that are limitless. Kirachim of albanim, kishashnechmenu imo, and so on. Gamelet shachachna is a chiddush. It's kila HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, even if it's possible, mother, forget a child, I wouldn't. But the demus of things that are limitless. Mitzat koyach hashpa are those in yonim. The two ma'isim that Chazal point out over here are both ma'isim that were mahalach, where not the pshat something outside was koyfe, but the midas of ahava and / taiva were bounded mitzad atzmam. By Avraham Avinu, we saw the Rambam who explains the Monavuchim, the Nisayan of Avraham Avinu, and he portrays the ultimate of desire of Kosef and Tshuka is in Avraham Avinu to Yitzchak. This is the sum total of the Ratzin and Chemda of his life. The entire Koach HaRatzin of Avraham Avinu lies in Yitzchak. This is what he wants, and this is what he lives for. The footnote says that it says Elizabeth Odaya, when he did tshuva, he died because since his life was so caught up with taiva, there was no life anymore without it. So Avraham Avinu mitzad his mitzias, there was no makom of. You couldn't be koifa on it, a gvul. The only thing that you needed, the only thing that was possible was that the ahava itself to anything that I possess is subordinate to the ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the ahava of anything, of me to anything in the Bria, is a circle within the greatest circle of Avos Hashem. That's pretty much how the Rambam explains it. So the midah Avram, that it was Kovish as Rachmav, came, it wouldn't be possible, and the Rambam makes this point, it wouldn't have been possible to impose anything else on it. If I want to do something, I want to eat something I shouldn't eat, and someone says, no, I'm going to give you a patch. So I make a mental calculation. Do I like it more than I don't like the patch, or vice versa? But Avraham Avinu, what can we tell him? If you don't shecht Yitzchak, we'll kill you. Well, it's the same. What's the difference? There's nothing that means anything anymore to me. It had to be that that's what I'm saying. There was nothing he could be scared of. What could you do to me if you don't agree to be killed? We will what? If you don't agree to Shecht Yitzchak, I will do what? It had to be that that the Midas Av of Yitzchak itself had a kav in itself. It was boundless, but bounded by a certain kav, by the understanding that it's limited to within the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Av. By Yosef, Yosef was the ultimate of Taiva, in the possibility of Taiva. There was nothing to impose. The Yira itself, was something that was also going. He knew the consequence of not listening to her would be possibly death. She would to save herself, as she did, she'd have him arrested, and possibility of dying was great. It says, Vayonas Vayetze Achutza. The difference, the Malm says, the difference between Bricha and Nisa. Why does it say, so he gives a klal. His klal is, he brings it from Psukim by Shaul. Bricha is a calculated going away, running away. You think about it and you slip out of the city. Nisa is a knee-jerk reaction. It says, Vayonas Vayetze Achutza. His reaction was to bolt and to run, and then he started to go out. In other words, he found it, the gvulis that he put into taiva, he found it, it's not the pshat, he had all the taiva, and then he forced a stop on it, but taiva had its limit. And when it went over its limit, it repulsed him. The same way like Vayoratz implies an instinctive attraction, Vayonas implies an instinctive running away. In other words, both of them come mikoyach hataiva vayoratzen rather than mikoyach haseichel. Vayetze chutza is fine. Vayonas, Vayetze chutza. So Vayetze chutza was already, got his bearings straight. He said, okay, what do we do now? We'll go outside. But there was a reaction. The koyach hataiva had its limits, and when it reached a certain point, it stopped by itself. That's where the vayakavu was. That's where the vayonas is connected to vayonas. So in Tzina Lemedim, let's sort of bring it together. The turning point in the world was that the Bria comes with the following structure. There are kochos in the Bria, kochos of ispashtus, and that's mayim. Mayim is something that goes, flows, runs. It's not only is it very hard to stop it, but inherently it has no form. And that's a churban, that's a mabul. That's the world of Toyo Vavoyu. The world of Toyo Vavoyu is a world without tsuris, without gevulas, without limits, and so on and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then made a two-step process in how these things would work. He imposed gevulas on the world, and therefore things are restrained artificially by koiches of gevul. And parallel to Adam, we would say the koyach of Seichel, the koyach of Yiras Ha'onesh, the Azharas Bezdin, all of these are rokia, to be mavdol b'mayim tachtonim al yonim. These are gvulos imposed on it. That was the first step of the Bria. And that's how the Bria had to survive. It says the Bnei Noach were goyderes atzom v'arayis. They were goyder themselves in arayis. They put gvulos. With the coming of Torah, with the coming of Klal Yisrael, being an Am Hashem. An Am Hashem means that those gvulas, they would now go to the second darga, what HaKadosh Baruch told Moshe Rabbeinu, Yikovu Amayim. The water itself would become containable. The water itself would become of a tzura, box-like. It would have a certain inherent ability to stop at a certain place. The gvul samta, choil samta gvul by avayrut, is one part of it. That's one step. The second step is yikovu amayim means the waters themselves became self-bounded. And b'meila, that was nizgala at this point. And that's why crossing the Yarden is rarely spoken of. It's a nes like any other nes, but it's not a shinim mahusi in the Bria. This Kriyas Yamsuf as a bridge between Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim was crucial. Was the fulcrum on which a whole new mahalach was introduced in the Bria. That the koiches in the Bria that seem to be of themselves unstoppable don't have to be stopped from the outside, but internally have gvulas, because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the atnai within it that the mayim goes to a point and stops at that point. The Rambam speaks about it when he speaks about who is a better person. The person who wants to do an affair but controls himself, versus the person, the Moshel Baruchov, versus the Chassid, or the person who never wants to do that which is bad. The Rambam has his chalkos between Mitzvah Sichlius to Mitzvah Non Sichlius. The Balatanya puts it down as a general Mahalach in Avodas Hashem. He puts it down as a Mahalach of two steps. He calls it iskafia and ishafcha. One is when you need to force your restraint on yourself, and one is when that's the way you actually feel about it. We have the hardest time. We have a hard time with restraints that the Torah puts on us. First of all, it's always hard. It's like trying to keep your finger in the dike, not to let the water go through. It's very, very hard to keep living with no. When I don't see any accomplishment, I mean, all I've accomplished is that I haven't fallen. That's a very, very difficult way to live. A person can live for accomplishment, but to live by not falling is doesn't go hard on a person. And down deep, a person also frets on it. It seems something unnatural. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells what to do, what not to. But if I have a strong taiva, and have such a, and that's the nature of the bria, so why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposing something that's counter tefa, so to speak? It's not a kasha intellectually. It's not a kasha, but emotionally, it's difficult. Notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crippling me. He's limiting me. He's handicapping me. That's kind of emotionally the way a person feels about it. A person has to understand the koyach, it starts with a rakia. It starts with a gevul samta by avir. That's how Avodas Hashem starts. The first one is always an imposition on me. That's the derech, that's the way I need. And a person understands it. I don't, my koyches left by themselves are damaging, my taiva, my whatever other midas, they become destructive, and I need to impose controls on it. I need to discipline and control it. But a person should understand that if he's doing things the way they should be done, kitikunoi, then at some point the kavim in the mayim itself will reveal themselves. As a person lives with a, if the restraints he put around himself are the Torah restraints, are the correct restraints, then slowly it will be megala the emes from within as well. Taiva will, when it comes to kitukunoi, taiva itself will recoil from bad taiva, just like a person who give a person a piece of food that he likes, but it's rotten. So the smell, the look, the taste will repulse him. Ah, you like very, very much chocolate cake. Yeah, but not when it's moldy and smelly. It the same taiva I have for it, the same kreha taiva repulses. When a person's metakin himself, kitikunai, when a person imposes the gvuls, then his mitzias of taiva becomes changed. His mitzias of taiva is to want that which he should want, and not to want that which he doesn't want. It's a long way. But that's the turning point of Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Bria was mezgala, the tension between what HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposes on the Bria and what the Bria is mezgala as a first step towards a matziv. The Gvul Samta is step one. It's like braces you put on teeth to have them grow in the natural groove. Once they've grown the way they should grow, I don't need it anymore. Once a person's metakin himself, then he deheres that the mainness of Boilam, those terrible forces of ispashtus, of taiva, of ritzoinis, they themselves have a built-in tanai of Yikov Amai. And when the person is metakin himself, then the water itself does the ratzin, and the water itself is sasa sameach to do what it ought to do, and not to do what it ought not to do.
That's endless.